This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger and a voice crying in the wilderness saying, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Well, America, since he's coming again, let's prepare the way by opening his love letter, your King James Bibles, to Psalm 145, verse 1, where we left off last time. Psalm 145, verse 1. This particular psalm is in what is called the Deuteronomy Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is divided up into five books, and it means these are the words of God. Now, this Psalm 145 is a praise of David, and it is the last of the acrostic psalms in this majestic book of Psalms. We've been studying this on the radio for almost a year, over a year now. And acrostic, listen carefully, is something that God hides in his word for the elect to seek. It's a hidden special message to those who will seek it out, for God's elect. Proverbs 25 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter." You are a king and a priest. So no wonder Jesus said to seek and seek and seek. And so we're going to find that there is a secret message here. Now, there are 20 acrostic psalms or really acrostics themselves in the Old Testament, 9 of them in the Psalms, and this is the last one. Now, how do we know it's an acrostic? How do we know there's something hidden here? Because of the Hebrew alphabet. This was written in Hebrew. That's exactly how God dictated it. You have an English translation. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. If you'll notice in Psalm 145, there are only 21 verses or 21 lines, we would say. The way they write this is each line begins with one of the Hebrew letters, like our A would be Aleph, our B is Beth. But there is a Hebrew letter missing, and that's the red flash. I happen to know that the missing letter is the Hebrew letter Nun, N-U-N, equivalent to our N. And it's secret, and when we get there, I'm going to tell you where it is, and it will bless you forever and ever. Now, this is Praise by David.
Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever.
At last, David was on the throne. He was the most powerful man on earth, and Israel was the greatest nation. And yet he bowed his head and said, "O God, you are King of kings and Lord of lords."
2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever.
I'm not going to just bless you. Bless means to humble myself before you. At one time, I'm going to do it all the time. You notice to use God's name in both verses. God's name is very important to him. When Moses was at the burning bush, Moses said, "God, what's your name?" Now, God spoke Hebrew, so he said, "Ayah, Asha, Ayah." But he said, "I am that I am. I am the being." Well, that's the etymology of the word L-O-R-D. We all know the word Lord. In the Hebrew, it's Yahweh. It's not Jehovah. It's not Yahweh. The sacred name of the Lord is Yahweh. Let's say it. Yahweh. And we know that Revelation 19:13 says his name is called the Word of God. So we praise you, Yahweh. You are the Word of God. Always praise his name. When you love somebody, you call them by name.
3, gracious the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable.
His greatness is unfathomable. To try to understand the wisdom of God when he created the universe, the gravitational pull that holds the planets and the constellations and the suns and the moons together, it is unfathomable. You cannot absolutely comprehend it. O Elohim, creator of heaven and earth, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. How great thou art!
For one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts.
God has promised in his word that in every generation, from the time he put man's spirit and soul in a flesh body in the second earth age, that there would always be a small remnant of God's people, not the masses, to bring forth the oracles of truth. I don't mean a fragment or one verse or a book about the book or a story. The entire truth, the mystery of God from the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, when Satan rebelled, right on into this and on into the future. And has always been a remnant. And of course, David was one of those writing this psalm. And now here at the end generation, you are the generation of the fig tree. We are the one that will see the second coming of Jesus. Maybe not every one of us, but this is the generation. Even we are called the Zadok, the elect. And that oracle of truth is still going forth. And you've come to the right place to hear it.
5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wonderful works.
The wonderful works here in Hebrew means wonderful words, the wonderful words. In the second book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit landed on the apostles, I'll start to say lighted, that's a pretty good way to say it, lighted upon the apostles in cloven tongues of fire and spake in that language. In Acts 2, it says everybody heard it in all of their languages, and what they said, it said the wonderful works of God, but the manuscripts say the wonderful words of God. Remember, God is the Word, and so he wrote us a book, and it's the wonderful words of God. Incidentally, when the elect are delivered up to the soon coming Antichrist, who comes at the sixth trump, he's the instead of Christ, he'll be the devil with his Jesus costume on. When we are delivered up to him, we are to allow Holy Spirit to speak through us. It will be that same tongue. Everybody in the world, right down to his own native dialect, will understand it. Absolutely, what a destiny, what a purpose. How privileged we are.
6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts.
Terrible means awesome.
And I will declare thy greatness. 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness.
They will speak of the memory. Now, what David is talking about here is what Peter wrote about in 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was. There was a world before this. World is Greek, eon means age. There was an age before this. We're now in the second earth age. And in the world that then was, David remembers that that was where Lucifer, Satan, the old serpent, the dragon, all those play actor names, rebelled. Isaiah 14 said, I will be God. And that he brought sin into the equation. That's where it began, before the garden. And that was when Jesus said, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. David says, those of us who are the remnant, those of us who are the Zadok, the elect, we will remember that, and we will tell it to people.
And shall sing of thy righteousness. 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy.
Now, David loves God's word. He said, I love thy law. He even loved Leviticus. And he's quoting now from Numbers 14. Moses, with the help of God, had finally led these stubborn, rebellious Israelites almost to the promised land. They were at the edge. But they did not believe that God was going to take them in. So they sent some spies in there. This was not God's plan. God said, I'm going to get you in there. I'm going to give it to you. They sent some spies, and so the spies lied and came back and said, no, God's not right. We can't go in there. We're like grasshoppers. Those are giants in there. Well, as if that weren't bad enough, the children of Israel said, well, I tell you, let's just forget this man that God appointed, Moses. Let's forget God's chosen person. Let's elect us another captain to take us back to Egypt. They wanted to go back into slavery. Do you know that for some people, we pray for them and they get healed of cancer, but in a month's time they got a headache? Do you know that when you get out of captivity of something the devil's brought on you, let's say it was you've been sick for a long time, then you got to go to work, you got to wash the dishes, and you can't get that disability anymore. Some people are more comfortable in their pity party than being a proud warrior for Jesus. And that's the way they felt. So God told Moses, and David is talking about this, Moses, you stand back. Moses, I'm going to make a great and better nation out of you. I'll bring the Messiah through you, Moses. And so Moses interrupted. He said, oh God, oh don't do that. God said, I'm going to take them all out with one shot. We learned last week that God's bullets are his lightning. That's his arrows. I'm going to shoot one little arrow there of lightning and take them all out. Moses said, no, God, remember that you are gracious. You're not willing that any should perish. You are long-suffering. You're full of compassion. So one man interceded for a nation, and the nation was saved. Every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. here at my school, I intercede for America. Will you come and join me? Because if we go by the word of God, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if God's people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, God will hear from heaven, will forgive our sins, and will heal our lands. One man prayed and a nation was saved. Come and join me. Let's get America saved. Back to Jesus. Back to the Bible.
My, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
You know, there's not one human being ever born that could actually honestly say that somewhere in their life God has not blessed them. If you know how to count your blessings. Most people count their troubles. Why don't you start making a list and count your blessings? Name them one by one.
10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. 11. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. 12. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
This is the Shekinah glory of God. In the great book of Ezekiel, it tells us that at the end of the millennium, when Jesus is here and the Zadok will teach, God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down here, rejuvenate the earth, make everything perfect again, all evil gone into the lake of fire. And he's going to change the name of Jerusalem. This would be Ezekiel 48, the last verse will tell you that. He's going to change it to Yahweh Shema, the Lord is there, the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God.
13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations.
Now, in your King James Bible, that was verse 13, right? And you'll see the next one is 14. Well, this is the acrostic. Now, we never add to God's word. God's word is perfect, but it wasn't written in English. In the primitive text of the original manuscripts, here is the missing line. And I'm translating it from Hebrew into English, and it says, faithful is Yahweh in all his word, and holy in all his works. Let me help you memorize it. Faithful is Yahweh.
Faithful is Yahweh.
In all his word.
In all his word.
And holy.
And holy.
In all his works.
In all his works.
The word faithful in the Hebrew alphabet is the missing letter, nun. Now God put that in there for you. No matter what you're going through, whatever the word says, God is faithful to his work and whole word and holy in his work. Hallelujah. Memorize that. Let it become a part of you. That's the acrostic hidden for you.
14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall.
Now, this reads in the manuscript, who are about to fall. David goes forth now in prophecy. He's a prophet, Act 2. To our time, we're now in the fifth trump, a time of learning. Very soon the sixth trump will sound and the Antichrist will come. The whole world will worship him and call him God. Half of the body of Christ will think he's Jesus because he's going to act like Jesus. Peace, safety, cause craft to prosper. Two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. However, there will be a small remnant of us who will not worship him. That's called the elect. It's not the majority of the Christian church. It never has been the crowd, folks. The crowds don't have it. It's the small group. And Jesus said in Mark 13, I'm shortening the time of the Antichrist for the elect's sake, lest I find no faith when I come. So he's going to shorten it. When we feel we can't stand the pressure anymore, because even on every corner and on religious Christian television, radio, everybody's saying, Jesus is here, Jesus is here, then Jesus will come about to fall. He won't come too early, but he won't come too late. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh.
And raiseth up all those that be bowed down.
And when Jesus comes at the seventh trump after the Antichrist, since the whole world will have bowed down their hearts and called the devil God, thinking he's in the half the Christians, they'll all be bowing down their hearts and worshiping the devil. Of course, they're calling him God. And when they see the real, especially the Christians, deceived, they'll say, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, that's not God. There's Jesus. And they're going to get up. But let me tell you, everybody's going to get right back down on their knees, for every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
15. The eyes of all wait upon thee.
The eyes of all look upon thee. Always keep your eyes on the Lord. Stay on the word. Stay focused on the word. Don't get distracted.
And thou givest them their meat in due season. 16. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing.
What a great God we are to make the constellations. That gravitational pull that keeps everything in orbit, rotating like it's supposed to be. And yet he feeds the little birds. And you are more valuable than many sparrows. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father knowing. Right now, you desire something. You desire a person. You desire a friend. You desire a mate. You desire a job. You desire money. We all have those needs. There's going to come the time for those of us in the eternity, during that millennium and after that, the saved, that we shall have the desires of our heart. The book of Ezekiel says everybody has a plot, but the Zadok, the elect overcomers, will not inherit any plot, for our inheritance shall be God. Because you see, for an elect, the desire of your heart is God. When you have God, you have everything. That day is coming. No more longing. He satisfies that hole in your soul.
17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works.
Holy in all his works. Listen to that. That's a clue. That's the last part of the acrostic. Remember, faithful is Yahweh in all his word and holy in all his works.
18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. to all that call upon him in truth.
Apostle Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is truth? Pilate said to Jesus. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. When you find what God has said in his word, call upon the Father in the name of Jesus and speak to him of his word. Pray his word to him. Faithful is Yahweh in all his word. He watches over his word and performs it. Though it tarry, wait for it. It shall come at the appointed time.
Amen. 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him.
That would be the elect. We're going to have every need met. There's no more sickness in the eternity, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more aging. You know, the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations, Revelation 22 tells us, it means we're never going to be bored. And God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has the heart imagined into the heart of man what God's prepared for us. We're going to have the desire of our heart. There is this fullness when you have that oneness with God. It is an intimacy that absolutely is so fulfilling that there is no more desire.
He also will hear their cry and will save them.
God will hear the cry of the elect when we say, hurry, Lord Jesus, we can't take this pressure anymore. All around us, these people are calling you Jesus. He'll come. He's coming right on time, the seventh trump. We get to gather around him and be with him, nobody else. Now I want you to be one of those. Don't be deceived.
20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him.
That love him. When I was a little girl, my mother used to make preserves. She would can. They grew their own beautiful vegetables, tomatoes and beans and cucumbers and tomatoes and all. And I would watch her put them in those preserve jars. And then in the cold, cold winter, we would go get them. And they were preserved. And you will be preserved forever. You'll never be old. You'll never be sick. You'll live forever. Joy, joy, joy. Joy comes in the morning, the day of the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.
But all the wicked will he destroy.
And the wicked one, Resha, the devil. At the end of the millennium comes the lake of fire into existence. The devil, his fallen angels that have not been killed when Jesus comes, some of those are going to be killed then. And all who worship the devil, even though they think he's Jesus, will walk into the lake of fire. And the acrostic in Psalm 37 says, into the smoke they shall consume away. They shall consume away.
21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Praise ye the Lord. Now we come to Psalm 146. We've only got five more psalms. What a study. What a privileged people we are. Now I told you that the book of Psalms, this great big book beginning with Psalm 1, is divided up into five books, the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, two verify that the mouth of two or three witnesses matters established. These last five psalms are also called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So 146 is Genesis, which means man, you.
Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Verse 2, while I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Number 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help.
The word help here in the Hebrew means salvation. There is no other name given under heaven and earth whereby men might be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Men have always tried to find another way to get to God. Even in the Christian religion, many people work and work and work and think their works will save them. Works become very important after you are saved. They even weave your bridal gown you're going to wear for all eternity. But you're not saved by works. In Genesis 11, they tried to build a tower to heaven. They thought they would do that. Today, they try to clone themselves. And then there's this thing of deep freezing. But no, Jesus is the only way, no other way.
For his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth.
To his earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 5 says, the living know that we will die, the flesh will die, except this last generation. There'll be one generation that won't. And it says the flesh returns to the dust, the earth from whence it came. That's why instead of at funerals, I don't say ashes to ashes, I say earth to earth. Now, what this means is that you are not your flesh. See, most of you look at your body and you say, this is me. This is what I am. A man looks at a beautiful woman and it's her flesh and says, I love you. And you say in an envelope, your flesh is your envelope. You're a spirit. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. Your soul is your personality. And the world that then was before you came from God, you had a spirit body. You've got one there. You're going to step into it when Jesus comes or when you die. And so the flesh is just your envelope. And see, that's what's happened to America. Everybody puts plaster. You say, I love you. I love you. And then when you get married and you find that the inside's not as pretty as the outside, because there's an ugly person inside wrapped up in all that pretty. The honeymoon's over. So I tell you what, if you're going to get married, you're going to fall in love, find the inner beauty, okay? All right. Now, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, ere the silver cord breaks, when you kick the bucket, the spirit returns to God who gave it. In other words, that flesh, you don't need it anymore. It's just your envelope. But the real you goes right back to God, total memory. And of course, then Jesus tells you on which side to go.
In that very day, his thoughts perish.
In other words, that flesh doesn't know anything. All of us have lost loved ones and we watch their bodies. That's that flesh body lying in the casket. And we look at them and we look at them and we want to touch them and hold them. And they are not there. That was just their envelope. After this service, some of you will go home and you'll take off your shirt or your sweater. It'll just lie there on the floor, or maybe you hang yours up. But it doesn't have any feeling. That's not you. Understand?
5. Happy is he that hath what God of Jacob for his help.
Now, happy means blessed. Absolutely. You know why you're happy if you've got the God of Jacob for your God? Because Jesus came through that lineage. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. 12 patriarchs right on down through David, through the Virgin Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, if you really know the God of Jacob, then you would really be saved by Jesus. So happy and blessed are you. David continues to speak of salvation.
Whose hope is in the Lord, his God.
Christ in me, my hope of glory. The next time you feel hopeless and desperate, just remember that. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Remember, you're supposed to die and let him live his life through you. He's supposed to speak through you, sing through you, pray through you, work through you, live through you. Just live through you. Let him live his life through you. Christ in me, my hope of glory. No wonder you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let him live for you, in you, through you. Not about you, not around there, in you.
6. Which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is.
John 1:1. The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Period, period, period. Elohim, creator of heaven and earth.
Which keepeth truth forever.
Thy word is truth. When we're teaching the book of Job, we found that there's a Bible in the skies. Now, I'm not talking about the world's numerology and zodiac, but Isaiah says the word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. During that 1,000 years reign, when we'll all be in our spiritual bodies, when Jesus comes, and he'll be right here on planet earth, and you're going to miss him, he'll be right here. The only thing that's going to be done is the word of God. That's why the elect are being trained to reign, to teach. And the elect will teach, and the only thing that will be the subject will be the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Well, I would like for all of you to pray that more and more, even now, that this handmaiden get more and more of the word. I want to cover the world with the word of God so people won't be deceived when the Antichrist comes.
Heaven which executed judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry.
When Jesus told us to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all of that, naturally level one, but what he's talking about, those who are hungry for the word of God, feed them the word of God. The word of God is your vitamin. And then to clothe them, lead them to Jesus, that they be clothed with the robe of salvation, and give them shelter, let them tabernacle in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a deeper meaning, because as Mother Teresa said, you can feed them one day, but the next day they need food again. But give them food from God's word, the word of God. Give them Jesus and the Bible. If they will really live that, they'll be able to go out and get a job and be able to get their own food. Unless they're disabled, we'll take care of those.
So the Lord looseth the prisoners.
Jesus came to set the captive free, to defeat death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. When Jesus said, it is finished, and they took his body down, Peter tells us in 1 Peter that he went into the prison where all the souls back to Noah, meaning all the way back to the flesh, first flesh man, and he set them free. Can you imagine he walks in there and says, hello, I just paid your sin debt. If you'll believe in me, I'll set you all free. Woo! I bet they all went through. He set the captive free. Amen. Remember, Judas was in there. Everybody was in there. It was a holding place. Well, what did Judas do? Repent. What do you have to do to be saved? Repent. I just wanted to, you know, tweak your brain a little bit there. Let's don't be so judgmental. Remember, mercy. Haven't you betrayed God?
The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind.
This means spiritually blind. There are people with 20/20 vision that have no concept of the mystery of God, the entire plan of God. Every time I teach God's word, whether it's radio, internet, tape, live, wherever it is, I always ask the Holy Spirit to let the ears hear with understanding, the eyes see with understanding, the heart receive with understanding. It would do you well sometime to shut your eyes and see the word of God from his perspective.
The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous.
The righteous are the elect. He loves the ones he chose. Well, the chose earned it. Ephesians 1:4 chose you before the foundation of the earth. Foundation, Satan's overthrow in the first earth age. Chosen, selected, earned it, appointed it. Now, he also loves those who choose him now in this one time in the flesh.
9. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow.
Last time David was talking about the strange children, he was talking about the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the offspring of Cain, Cain being the child of the devil. Now, a Kenite can be saved. They say they are a beloved brother Judah, but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. And the fatherless would be that anyone who is not saved by Jesus could not have God the Father. If they will accept Jesus and be saved, God can be their father. A widow in the manuscripts reads divorced. Anyone who's divorced from God by marrying Jesus, accepting Jesus, can be saved. So whosoever will may come.
But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down.
upside down means he overthrows it. The Ephesians 1:4, again, I'll quote that, chosen before the foundation of the earth. The word foundation catapults Satan's overthrow in the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, Isaiah 14. Oh, Satan overthrew God's kingdom. And so God is going to overthrow Satan's kingdom. He's now the prince of the earth. But at the end of the millennium, Satan is going to be overthrown into the lake of fire. Poof, gone.
The Lord shall reign forever. Thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord in Hebrew. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. I ask in Jesus' name that it not return void, but accomplish that whereunto it is sent. We love your word. We thank you and give you glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, it's time now for a mystery moment. Paul told us to learn the mystery of God, questions and answers to help you understand. Now, I'm warning you, because Joel said to blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. There's a soon coming one in the sky, land himself in Jerusalem, is going to call himself God. Look like Jesus, act like him. Two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. That'll be the Antichrist. He's going to deceive the whole world and half the body of Christ. He could come most any moment now. After he comes, the seventh trump, the real Jesus comes. And as you noticed on my John the Baptist introduction, that comes from Revelation, every eye shall see the real Jesus. He's not sneaking in on the sneak preview. We're now in the fifth trump, which is the time of learning, the fifth seal. And so may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers. Dear Sherry Trumpet, are lesbians, gays, bisexual, transgender people born that way? Well, that's a great way to start. Okay, we're here about truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. So what does God's word say? Genesis 1, verse 26. God had just completed 5 days of creation. And on the sixth day, he started making people in the flesh. And he said, male and female made he them. Everyone that comes into this second earth age one time in the flesh is either born male or female. Now, you know my announcer gives you my number at the end of this. I'm sure it's going to ring off the hook, and you can ask me some more questions about that. But we'll move along. Dear Sherry Trumpet, President Obama and the Pope say that the greatest danger of our country is climate change. Is that right? Again, thy word is truth, so we go to the word of God. Genesis 8. 22, God is speaking. While earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, thus saith the Lord. Dear Sherry, is circumcision required today? They did that in the Bible. Is that still required? No, not at all, because the circumcision, God started that with Abraham, was a symbol of the blood sacrifice. And so then when Jesus, once and for all, the Lamb of God, paid that blood sacrifice, there was no more need for that. Colossians chapter 2. That was a blood ordinance, and so he nailed all of the blood ordinances to the cross. But now, we'll say this, if you want to do the circumcision for hygiene's sake, that's fine, but it is not necessary. Let's see if we have time for one more question here. Dear Sherry, in Jeremiah 24, he speaks of the good fig and the bad fig. Please explain. All right, after the house of Judah had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar and taken into Babylon's captivity for 70 years, Ezra and Nehemiah were allowed to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall and rebuild the temple. Now, they were the house of Judah. Remember, there are 12 tribes, but the 12 tribes had split, the 10 tribes of Israel, and they had been captured 200 years earlier, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains into Europe, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean into Canada, and these United States of America, house of Israel, 10 tribes. But the house of Judah was the good fig and went back. But with the house of Judah, there in Ezra and Nehemiah, went fake ones, the bad fig. They were called the Nethinims, which means they are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, offspring of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. They began to take over the priesthood. Jesus says the scribes sit in the seat of Moses. They begin to preach the sermons. They say they are Judah, but are not, but the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Jesus says the only two type churches that please him here at the end will tell you who they are. You just heard it. Now, in 1948, once again, our brother Judah, the good fig, went back and the nation Israel was reborn. But with them again went the bad fig, who say they're Judah but are not, the synagogue of Satan, the Kenites. This plays a very, very important part, especially to Christians, because they're going to play a great big part in the deception when the Antichrist comes, because they will gather around their father and call him the Messiah. The Kenites have destroyed America, and they're taking over so much of the pulpit. Be careful. You need to know the difference. Well, we'll have some more questions next time. We've added a new segment, Miracle Moment. The early church gave themselves to word, prayer, and miracles and signs and wonders were done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We do that in here on a regular basis. I mean, I am a miracle. And so my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and so you may call in and tell me your miracle and leave it on my machine. Now, our miracle person of the week is beautiful Evelyn of Rockledge, Florida. Evelyn had been in severe, brutal pain in her back and shoulders and hands and head because of extreme arthritis. Her doctor gave her an MRI, and the doctor said, there is nothing we can do. You will just have to learn pain management. Evelyn, being an elect, we never roll over and die. We get up and fight. She got up and said, no. So Evelyn prayed to God to heal her. Then she went to her computer. Remember, God is the Word. And so there on her computer came these words, try turmeric and cayenne pepper. These are natural seasonings. Evelyn tried it. And for over 6 years, she has been pain-free. God knows all about computers. Miracle to Evelyn. I was just going to go one a week, but I just got one call on my telephone. Our Karen, who's had to be absent today because she had to work on Wednesday night, Karen asked me to pray for her son, Adam, who had a new job in a car dealership. He wasn't doing well. He didn't know how to do the job, wasn't selling any cars, very depressed. So we prayed, and she just called me, and the next day he sold a car, the next day he sold a car, the next day he sold a car, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit, three cars. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are the author of miracles. I ask in the name of Jesus that out there in cyberspace, wherever anyone hears my voice, oh, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the pain be gone. Let disease be gone. Let deaf ears hear, blind eyes see, crippled legs walk, cancer, fibromyalgia, pancreatic cancer be gone in Jesus' name. Arthritis, bone marrow, teeth, gums, everything be healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Now, there's no greater miracle than salvation. If you're not saved, may the Holy Spirit convict you of sin, and may the Father draw you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. Please pray this prayer with me. Let's go very fast. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
I repent of my sins. Please forgive me for all my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Use me. To enlarge your territory. I love you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Now my announcer's about to give you my telephone number. Call in your miracle. Call in your question. Call in your salvation. Or you might just call and tell me you love me. I love you. Now come on Sundays here at my school, 5 p.m. Word and Prayer. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Word and Prayer. But remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I love you. God bless you. Shamar you about. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
My life is so much more. Break the chains and open doors. Lord, let me shine, shine like the moon, a reflection of you, all that I do. Lord, let me be a light for your truth, light of the world. I want to be used to shine for you, to shine for you, to shine.
Follow you too. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, we'll see your glory here. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing. As you show your face, we'll see your glory here. We'll see your glory here. We'll see your
You're listening to 91.5 FM, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
So come on and sing out loud.
rejoice the humble poor beneath. Glory to God and